This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. After weeks of negotiations, lawmakers finally agreed on a tax reform plan. It's not as sweeping as some original proposals, but the changes are significant. Personal and corporate income taxes would decrease, state gasoline tax would be capped, tax holiday weekends go away, and Republicans like State Senator Tom Apodaca say they did what they came to do.
I argue it is the perfect time to change a tax structure, the perfect time, because I don't particularly give a darn if we're written up in the New York Times. I want to be written up in the Wall Street Journal. That's what brings people to North Carolina.
He got his wish. Wall Street Journal wrote North Carolina up yesterday, but not everybody was happy. Democrats like Senate Minority Leader Martin Nesbitt say the tax reform plan is going to hurt small business owners and low and middle class families.
Your theory apparently is if you'll just give it to the people at the top, they'll sprinkle it on all of us and we'll grow. Well, it doesn't work that way. And instead of putting people back to work and making this economy hum, you're making the rich richer, the poor poorer, and the middle class is getting angry, in case you haven't noticed.
Joining us now is WUNC Capital Bureau Chief Jessica Jones. Jessica, welcome.
Hi, Frank. Thank you.
Give us an overview, first of all. What is in this tax reform plan?
Well, personal and corporate income taxes are lowered. In 2014, residents would pay a flat 5.8 personal income tax rate, and that's down from the current maximum of 7.75 under the tiered tax structure that is currently in place today. And it would fall another quarter of a point in 2015. And the proposal would also gradually reduce the 6.9% corporate tax rate to 5% by 2015. The estate tax would go away and sales tax would be extended to a few more goods and services, but not too many.
So if taxes are cut, generally that means revenues might go down. How do lawmakers expect to make up the difference?
The plan would bring in about $500 million less in revenue through mid-2015, but Republican sponsors of the measure say that eventually the state will make up for that because of population growth, and they think that the economy is on the upswing, will only get better, and because, and this is pretty crucial, they think that those cuts will result in more jobs because more companies will want to move here, and there will be more jobs for North Carolinians. That's the point of view that they have.
The point of view being the majority, the minority not in agreement, and the argument has been over who really benefits and who gets hurt by this reform and the changes in the tax code. So give us the two perspectives on this reform.
Well, to turn to the Democratic perspective, Democratic leaders have been quite adamant that the tax cuts benefit the wealthy and not lower and middle class North Carolinians. So just to throw out an example, they say the fact that under the plan everybody would be paying a flat personal income tax rate isn't right, that it should be a tiered system. And then they also say a lower corporate tax rate will benefit companies rather than people. But then on the other side of the aisle, Republican sponsors believe in the laissez-faire economic theory that more money in the hands of the wealthy and companies in particular will result in a better economic forecast, and you know there will be more jobs and more companies will want to move here.
The original proposals, or a number of them, and there were a number swirling about, many of them cut taxes much more deeply and were far more regressive than the proposal now on the table and the one that looks like it's going to be law. So tell us about some of those original proposals and how this is different from some of the more radical cuts.
Well, there was an earlier proposal that was sponsored by Senator Bob Rucho, and that would have broadened the sales tax by quite a bit. Now, of course, raising taxes is always controversial, I think, really, for both Republicans and Democrats. It's always something that can get you into trouble during an election cycle, and that part of the plan got scrapped. I will say, though, just to play devil's advocate here, that economists on both sides of the aisle have said that the current sales tax that the state has is really antiquated, that it reflects a manufacturing economy that North Carolina no longer has. That went away decades ago. And now the state has a service economy, and what they say and what the bond ratings agencies say is that really needs to be changed. But an economist that I talked to for a story that I did earlier in the week said that the state got its spoonful of sugar in this current tax proposal, but it didn't get the medicine.
Yeah.
And so So, you know, I think there are some people who would say, oh, great, I'm going to pay a lower personal income tax rate. But Democrats will say, well, that's not necessarily going to be so good in the long run.
Well, Democrats and experts, I mean, I think you point out something interesting here. The one thing the experts all agreed on is that a sales tax should be broadly based and apply to absolutely, ideally, everything, which would include all services. And that would spread the taxes around more evenly, require less of an increase in other places. That was in the Rucho plan, but then special interests got in and said, oh, yeah, but not my business, not my business. And so now you've got the tax plan that we've got. But there were other parts of that as well, which would have included big increases in sales tax on food. That's no longer part of the plan, right?
That's no longer part of the plan, but really this plan does not include significant increases in sales taxes. There are, you know, a handful of things, a few things, let's just say, where sales taxes would be applied. But basically, it really scraps that part of Rucho's old plan.
Right, and that was the only part that all the experts on both sides could agree on. So that's fascinating what happens once that public interest money makes its way into the process. We talked about the Wall Street Journal. It did write up. Of course, there have been some pro and con. There have been some pretty negative articles in the Journal about the business environment that's been created by this legislature. But the most recent article was positive. Tell us about that.
Yes, the article magically appeared yesterday, and it basically praised politicians here for passing a measure that lowered taxes, essentially. It pointed out that North Carolina has had the highest corporate income tax in the Southeast, and the article said that lowering it would attract more employees to the state, not surprisingly. The article also said that ending the estate tax would attract more wealthy retirees, snowbirds, who previously might have wanted to relocate to Florida, but who might be more willing to come to North Carolina.
Interestingly enough, Forbes and other business magazines had, over the past few years before all of this, ranked North Carolina in the top five business environment without all those changes. And as I say, there have been critiques in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and others. So it's interesting how the press has got the pro and con as we go forward with tax reform. So how does North Carolina now compare in terms of tax friendliness, tax reform to other states?
Well, as I pointed out a little bit earlier, it has had right now, I guess it still has, the highest corporate income tax in the Southeast. And so that has been a big point of contention. But there's another issue as well, which is that there have been a lot of loopholes and targeted exemptions for businesses and corporations in the past. Now, some of those have been eliminated in this plan. And a lot of economists on both sides of the aisle say, well, that's a really good thing. So that's certainly one good thing that this tax plan will do, because that will bring more money into the state's coffers, and they say that was much needed. But tax reform is a huge endeavor. Democrats say, you know, this is something that should take months. Both parties should agree on it, should move forward, should work carefully. And Democrats, in fact, say this is not tax reform. This is just tax cuts. Republicans say, no, it actually is tax reform. So just to give you an idea of that part of the debate.
Whatever it is, it's on the governor's desk now. What's going to happen?
There's no peep yet from the governor's office, but I have no doubt that it will be very soon.
It would suggest that just the sheer politics of this, that we wouldn't have gone this far unless there's a pretty good sense that everybody in control of government now agrees, and so it's probably going to go forward.
Yes, it is absolutely going to go forward. It was a conference report. It wasn't a typical bill, and that means that neither chamber can make amendments. They just both have to sign off on it, and the debate was well, I guess the votes were really largely ceremonial because Republicans knew they had the votes, and the governor had already worked out the details with leaders of both chambers. So, yes, it's definitely moving forward.
In other news, the News and Observer reports today that three major donors to State House Speaker Tom Tillis, who is going to make a bid for the Senate seat currently held by Kay Hagan. Three of those major donors were appointed by the House to the University of North Carolina Board of Governors. Tell us about that.
Well, the News and Observer reports that House Speaker Tom Tillis recently raised $105,000 from five donors for his U.S. Senate race that went into a super PAC for Speaker Tillis, and that included $70,000 from three men that the House appointed to the University of North Carolina Board of Governors. And so it raises a lot of questions about whether those donations might be connected to legislation in the chamber that he controls. And it's a good question to ask.
Of course, Speaker Tillis and those who made the donation, at least one of them, say there was no connection at all.
That's right.
That's what they've said. So what's the any other reaction in the General Assembly?
Well, I think from the vantage point here at the General Assembly, it's been known for quite some time that Speaker Tillis was angling to run for that race. And so I think I don't think there's too much of a surprise there, but certainly I think the revelation of the money and how much money was donated to that super PAC, I think that raises a few eyebrows.
We will see going forward. Jessica, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Jessica Jones, WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Just ahead, how unrest in Egypt cut short the summer plans for some Duke students on a service trip. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.